Galimera, Colin Callis. Galimera. Good holiday?
Yes, it was. And yassas is, I now understand. I use that a couple of times, and it's apparently very formal. Nobody in Greece generally bothers with something as formal as that. They just go yassas, which I think for South Africans, we can get behind that. Yassas seems like things we say quite often ourselves.
We do, but for so many different reasons. Yes. Now, tell me about Humanity 2.0.
So this was inspired by an event last week, and it belongs to a company, another one, by Elon Musk. He does feature inordinately on Business Unusual, but this particular company he set up, called Neuralink, to add to brain machine interfaces is the broad term that it's called. And I've said it Humanity 2.0 because it's the kind of things that starts affecting how we evolve. And typically evolution, little background here, was the natural selection that came from organisms adapting or not adapting to an environment. But over time, as humanity has built tools and shelters and all these other things, we've started shifting how much the environment affects us to how much we affect ourselves. And the one big one that still does affect us is global warming and pollution. But hey, we created that ourselves too. So this looks at that next step. And to give you a bit of a history, where were those steps? We started off with things that were mechanical. So things like glasses and hearing aids. Those are mechanical devices that help us. Then along came, or at the same time, we had biological devices, pacemakers, insulin regulators, or just about every single drug is a biological intervention that we have. And then you'll have a cellular intervention. These are the very new ones still, things like stem cell therapies or even gene editing. We did a piece on CRISPR about a year ago. And this is then the next step, because while all of those things seek to stimulate some part of your body, which then sends a signal to your brain, this thing says, I'm just going to send the signal directly into your brain anyway. And so now we've got to go and consider, okay, well, what is the brain? How does it work? And it's kind of interesting to imagine that a brain can't feel anything and can't move, yet it is capable of interpreting. It allows us to see and feel, and it allows us to move, yet it itself can't do that. And so what they've done, and this is not the first time they've done it, but they put wires in the brain. The forerunners to this particular brain-machine interface was things like the Utah Array or deep brain stimulation. And those things were pretty helpful. They did help paralyze people to some degree, regain control. They could control a mouse or a computer or even a sort of a driving device. And there's deep brain stimulations do assist with people who have seizures. They can sort of severe the prevalence and the severity of them. But those typically used big wires, or rather, those wires were very large compared to how small these were. And this is the first part of the innovation. As I say, last week, he sort of unveiled how far they've come. The company was founded in 2016. He's got a team of about 10 or 20 that were presenting this stuff. And effectively, it was a way for him to advertise for new, bright people to come and work in this field. And if you go to their website, you'll find there's a lot of jobs that they're actually offering. And one of the things with the way they've managed to miniaturize this, it is incredible, the robotics and the miniaturization that's got in, because the wire now is so small that if you had to look, and I would suggest, take a look at your little finger's nail. It's about a centimeter across, and you can lay 1,500, more than 1,500 of these wires side by side across the width of your nail, which will then go into a chip, which in itself is smaller than your nail. You combine a couple of those chips together, which are sort of inserted into your scalp in such a way that it wouldn't even affect your hairstyle. And then that connects across to the biggest thing in it, the battery, which sort of fits behind your ear, kind of like those old style hearing aids that you sometimes see. It's like a bit of a thing stuck behind your ear. That then is capable of reading the signals from your brain. And as I say, in the past, they did have that, the wires in your brain, but there were only a few of them, and they could only detect some parts of the movement. With couple of hundred wires now, and each of them having multiple points at which they can sense and send, you can record brain activity and stimulate it. And here's another thing I didn't think about brain cells, but of course it's true. A brain cell has no idea it's a brain cell, and a brain cell has no idea it's talking to another brain cell or a piece of wire. So when you stimulate a brain cell, it simply reacts. And when you record something from a brain cell, you can read from it as if it was trying to send you a specific thing. So step one for them, once they've implanted this thing, is read what people do. So they'll say, Bruce, raise your right hand, and they'll just see what your brain does. They have no idea really what it is, and those neurons have no idea really either, but they'll see that's what it does. And after a while, they can then replicate that signal. And if they put the electrodes on your arm, they'll make your arm lift. So they've worked out then how we can map the various parts. And they want to start with the motor cortex, so give people mobility again, hearing and vision. That's the kind of starting points, because the first step is to try and help people who have been affected negatively by these things. But as I'm sure you'll understand, once you can help those who have damaged parts of their bodies to become better, you can start enhancing those who want something more. So if we stick with the notion of sound, I can attach this little chip to a sensor that can pick up, let's say, what dogs can hear, ultrasound. And then
why would you want to do that? Super hearing or super smell. You could smell what they smell and then you want to roll in it. And oh, no.
Yes, who knows what it's going to do to baby behavior.
Exactly.
Well, this is the really murky kind of but fascinating space that we get into. And in some respects, you start adding additional vision. And perhaps you might say, for example, these wires are so incredibly small, you can't even get a surgeon to jam these things into your head anymore. They've got to use a robot. So wouldn't it be good then if surgeons could be augmented to make them a little more focused, a little calmer, a little more steady? Or politicians to not be compelled to want to say, ooh, I can make a quick win for myself here, and so control those sort of things. Or rapists, and a whole range of human activity which it appears, and I am fascinated and a little weary that we know enough or can even do this, but to start making interventions to controlling things or solving things like depression.
And okay, so the moment we start doing this, here comes curmudgeonly me. We then get governments who start saying, well, everybody needs to do this and put this into their heads because this is your new ID. You can't get your social security without this. And by the way, we're just going to give it a few tweaks to make you a better citizen. Yes, sir. No, sir. Three bags full, sir. Vote for you, sir. It's a slippery slope.
It is. And you know, on this occasion, I'm completely with you. I tried to bat for how wonderful social media was and don't worry about your privacy. I'm sure they wouldn't do anything nasty. I was wrong. I've been wrong so many times with that we can't trust big companies and certainly not just
We can't trust human nature. Here's the problem. Yes.
That's what the challenge is. And so while this is ostensibly a chat about the unusual business that allows for technological amazing things to happen, please let nobody be misguided that we need to focus on the technology here. We need to focus on the ethics and the implications, because you're absolutely right. We have tended to say, well, I'm sure the cigarette companies won't lie to us about smoking, and they did. And we were sure that governments wouldn't let global warming become a thing if it was really that serious, and the scientists surely would have told us, and we did nothing about it. And we did the same with privacy and everything else. So here is an opportunity for a very significant one that really can impact on the future of all humanity. To say that, hey, right now we do have a pretty good capacity for thinking and processing information, and that if we don't use it on this occasion, we might lose that ability because somebody else is going to regulate it for us.
And here's the problem. I mean, it's not the technology that's the problem. The technology generally is wonderful. It's how humanity applies that technology and what the, you know, and who is going to be applying the technology to what end, which is the concern.
It is a concern. So you'll have software. This thing's run on software. So, it can be hacked. It's a bunch of companies that are doing this, and it's obviously going to be very expensive. At one point, I was thinking, wow, you know what this is? This is building Steve Austin. This is the Mann von Stahl for the older people who might remember those things. But remember, he was also called the $6 million man. So thank you. Inequality writ large. The rich are going to get better, and the rest of us are going to be left behind. And so all of those things come together here, which is, as you say, a slippery slope. And while it will take a while, we don't understand much about our brain. When we start plugging this thing into those who will volunteer to use it, we will start learning exponentially more. And this is the thing, that the same way that the mobile phone was rubbish and terrible in 2007, by 2019, it's a device we can't live without. If we give ourselves just 10 years and don't try and think about all the difficulty that might be associated with us, we might see ourselves in a very tough position because we didn't.
Thank you very much to Colin Cullis this evening, blowing our minds as always, but I'm sure there's a wire that can prevent that from happening at some point in the future.